No, hey. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Oh, hello, James. Yes, hello there, hello there.
Yeah, hello there. Boy, you are busily going through all those Instagram posts there, aren't you?
Oh, yes, indubitably-doo, you have so many different comments. You had posted a video a while back saying, hey, everybody, hello there, why don't you put on questions down below in the little comment section anything you ever wanted to ask Jat for the Jat podcast.
That's right, I did that video a while ago, and we got a lot of responses, didn't we?
Oh, indubitably-doo, yes, we certainly did, and I've been sifting through all of them, and so I thought that it would be fun, because I knew you wanted to do them for this episode, so I came in early to get them all set for you.
Well, that is very nice of you, Bob. You're a wonderful human being, just like your nephew, Billy.
Oh, yes, Billy is wonderful as well. He helped me, in fact, with all this.
I have no doubt that Billy helped you. Now, did you get any help from Hank?
No.
I have no doubt that you had no help from Hank, too.
Hey, I can hear you.
Well, yeah, of course you can hear me. You're the engineer of the show. You're sitting there pushing the buttons and listening.
Yeah, well, just, you know.
So did you help them?
No, why would I help? That's not my job.
It's not your job? Okay. All right. Hank, how are you? You good?
Yeah, whatever. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I was excited to see that people are all excited to see that there's more of the James Arnold Taylor podcast.
You are? You were excited?
Yeah, because, you know, they're all really secretly in love with me.
Okay. So this is your way of kind of having your own. You know, you talked for a while there about having your own podcast. How'd that go?
Well, you know, I try to be humble. And so I just figured I'd just hang out here and run the, you know, things for you on yours.
So you didn't get any interest in it, huh?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, Bob, thank you so much. Now, so I think what we're going to do is, well, first off, let's start the show. Let's bring in Mr. Announcer Guy, get the podcast going, welcome everybody, and do that, okay?
Ooh, indubitably-doo. Yes, let's do it.
All right. Hey, Mr. Announcer Guy!
Yes, James?
Oh, hello. That was clever.
Yeah, man.
You ready to introduce the show? We'll jump right into it. I'm so excited. We have so many questions to answer.
Yeah, dude. Cue that music. Jerry the Music Man.
You got it, Mr. Announcer Guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. Talking to myself, the Jatcast Man. Today, Jat's going to answer your questions.
So exciting.
Now, here he is. The same guy that's doing all the voices you're hearing, including this one, James Arnold Taylor!
Wow, that kind of went on at the end.
I was trying to fill in on the music.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, the music kind of went a little longer and you had gone faster than you expected.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Announcer Guy.
You got it, man. I'm going to go listen to all the questions being answered. I'm going to go now.
Boom, boom, out the door, and he's listening. So I'm in the booth here at Jat Studios. They all go out there, and they listen in my... I have like a bigger area, the control room area. And all my characters, Hank and Billy and Bob and Mr. Announcer Guy and... Reginald, Don't Call Me Reggie. We haven't even had Reginald, Don't Call Me Reggie on at all this season. We should just check in and see. Hey, Reggie, don't call me Reginald. Yeah.
Stop it.
Okay. All right.
How are you? I'm excellent, James. How are you?
I'm excellent as well, I guess. Well, you bring me up to that excellence level. You see, Reginald, Don't Call Me Reggie.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, James. I appreciate that.
Yes, you're so just so refined and lovely, and so I think we all enjoy that. So this episode, Reginald, don't call me Reggie.
Just call me Reginald.
Okay, all right, Reginald, don't call me Reggie. I can't not, I'm sorry.
Stop it.
All right, we're gonna take some questions and stuff. So maybe I thought, because it's easier, and no offense to you, Bob, that I read all of them. You've made me this wonderful list. And then you all can go back out into the control room there and you can listen to the show. And I'm just going to take it from here and I'm just going to go because we have so many things that I want to answer from everybody. So are you guys okay with that?
Oh, indubitably-doo. I'll just enjoy the show. I've done my work. That's very cool.
Oh, very cool. I like that. You're very hip, Bob.
Oh, yes. I've been hanging out with Billy.
And, well, Billy is the epitome of cool.
Oh, thank you very much, James, Mr. James.
Did you just call me James?
Oh, it slipped out. I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay. You said James, and then you corrected yourself and said Mr. James.
Oh, yeah, yes, I did, Mr. James.
Just James?
Just James. I can't do it. No, I can't do it.
Okay, all right. Anyways. Okay, guys, you all go out, listen to the show. I'm going to read these comments because they're amazing, okay?
Right.
Thank you, Reginald. Don't call me Reggie.
Stop it.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the show. If you are new to the James Arnold Taylor podcast, I always like to at least address that because sometimes people may stumble upon the show. This is a show that has been going on for years now, and there's many different back episodes. This show is also, I think, pretty evergreen, as we say. In other words, I don't necessarily talk about very, very topical things. I tell stories about my life as a voice actor. I've been a voice actor for over 30 plus years in showbiz. I've been involved in Star Wars for over two decades. I've been involved in Ratchet and Clank, Final Fantasy, Marvel, DC, so many different things. Johnny Test, Fred Flintstone. I've been the voice of many famous characters, How to Train Your Dragon, Trolls, Shrek, all of those things for so many years. And I'm very, very blessed to be a part of all of that because I'm just a guy that spends his time in little padded rooms like this, talking to myself, doing characters and voices, and hopefully enriching your lives through entertainment in a way that sticks with you. And then when you go and you listen to this podcast, maybe you learn a little bit more about me and you go, oh, that guy's pretty nice. He seems pretty normal. He's a good family guy and all of that. So that seems to be what this is about. It's a way for me also to encourage all of you because there's so many of you that are just, you know, we're all just trying to live, right? There is so much crazy in this world right now, but really all any of us are trying to do is just kind of live our lives. At the end of the day, you have a meal with your family and friends, hopefully. You lay your head down to rest and you get up and you start over and it's all over again the next day and you do the best you can and you try to take care of yourself, I hope. You drinking water? Here at the James Arnold Taylor Podcast, we always want to be drinking water. Why? Because hydration is so important. Drink as much water as you can. So if you listen to this show, the one thing I really want you to get out of it is that you stay hydrated. So at least if you don't drink a bunch of water during your time normally in your day, at least when you're listening to this show, you've got your big glass of water or your bottle or your cup or your mug or whatever it is you have with water, preferably room temperature water, because it's just good. It doesn't shock the vocal cords and all that jazz. And it's just good for you. So let's all enjoy some water. And Jerry, the music man, cue that little cue. I'd ask Hank, but he doesn't know what he's doing.
Hey, stop it. I'm right here. I hear you.
All right. Well, cue the cue then.
Which one? This one?
No, we've been through this. We've played this game before. Jerry the Music Man, can you cue the Mr. Announcer Guy thing for drinking water? Because I'm getting thirsty. Thank you.
It's time to drink some water.
Oh, man.
That's good water.
That is good water. Hey, just a little side note. So if you're new to the show, when we drink water, we stay hydrated. We take a big sip of water and we say, ah, that's good water. And we do that as it was just, it's something in my family because my wife's grandmother, her abuelita, would drink water. And then after she'd take a big sip of water, when my wife was a little girl, they'd sit together. Her grandma was, her abuelita, was the one that really took care of her a lot, you know, because her parents worked and stuff. And she lived with them. And she was a sweet, sweet lady, Prisciliana. She would drink water and she'd go, ah, that's good water. You know, and so it was very sweet. And my wife has done that, you know, thinking of that growing up and stuff. So we've kind of carried that on. So now I say that on the show. Well, here's what's happened is I've had friends as well. The Batts family, who I love. Hello, if you're all listening. Craig Batts, who is a pastor and a dear friend, and he has a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful family. And they made me a shirt with a glass of water on it, and it says, ah, that's good water. My wife and I fight for who's going to wear the shirt because I didn't want to say that because now I know it's going to happen. Craig's going to like make another shirt for us, but no, it's a great shirt. We love it. And so we should start getting shirts like that made because then Ashley with Fangirling Over Jesus, who is also a fan of the show on Instagram and stuff, her name, and that's her business. She has a business called Fangirling Over Jesus. We've talked about it before. Ashley made me a mug and it says hello there. And then it says, ah, that's good water. And so people are kind of catching on to the, ah, that's good water thing. I'm way off on a tangent. I know we got to get to the questions and stuff, but anyways, it's also my way of saying thank you to all of you because that's really what this episode and all the episodes episodes this season are going to be about is my way of saying thank you to all of you and then answering your questions and stuff. So the whole, that's good water thing, it does my wife's heart good. She gets a beautiful little smile on her face when she sees it, hears that, when she listens to the show and she hears people, or when people come up to the table and say, that's good water. Because it was, you know, it was from her grandma, it was from her abuelita. And so that's abuelita, that is Spanish for grandma, essentially. And so, and my wife's family is, that's their heritage and their background. And so there you go. All right. So now let's look at some of these. Bob has made me a nice little list. What I'm going to do is I'm looking at them through my Instagram posts. So a while back I posted on Instagram saying, hey, if you ever wanted to ask me a question, write it here. So I'm going to go through, I want to try to get through as many of these as I can in this episode. Then in the next episode, we're going to get through more of them. Okay. Because there's hundreds of them. All right. So here we go. This first one is from iMummery. It's all in OC translation. This is Mitsuna, 22 years old. You're an artist. Okay. Art. Lucy. Okay. Lucy. Lucy asks, hi, James. Do you have any New Year's resolutions or new things you would like to try this year? So here's the thing, Lucy. I don't make like New Year's resolutions, but I really do start my year in prayer. And I, because again, I'm a person of faith, and I try to give everything up to God, and I try to give it up in prayer and just say, look, here's the things I want to try to control, God, and I don't want to have control. I want to leave it up to you. So I give a lot of things up at the beginning of the year. Okay, I'm really going to try to do better with this year. But I try to not go too crazy with New Year's resolutions, because here's what I find with New Year's resolutions. They're hard to keep up with. Right? And then we tend to kind of attack ourselves, get down on ourselves if we don't keep up with them. So what I try to do is I ask God, show me through my time with you and my prayer, what you want me to focus on this year. And so that's what I'll kind of do. And so right now, really, the focus has been, obviously, we're doing Comic-Cons this year. We're doing the podcast. We're bringing the podcast back. I'm trying to put more videos out there and really try to thank all of you. So I hope to encourage as many people as I can this year. That's kind of my resolution, that they are needed in this world. They are loved. They are a beautiful soul. And that you're all souls in need of truth and love. And I want to be able to be an example to everybody and try to show everybody the light that God has shown me. So that's kind of my, I guess, if you were to call it a resolution. So I hope that answers your question, Lucy. Okay. Dr. Vader Who, let me click on that, asks, will you ever come to Australia? Well, I hope to. I hope to get an invite perhaps someday to an Australian Comic-Con. I know that there are some Comic-Cons and such. I would love to go to the land down under. I really would. I think I mentioned that we're trying to get my movie Hidden Blessings out there. And so hopefully I will at some point. So thank you for that question. Here is Mr. Rides YT. What is that? Tom Grover, but it's Mr. Rides YT on Instagram. Tom Grover asks, if you got to voice an anime character of your choice, who would it be and why? Wow. I never have gotten to really voice a lot of anime. And I have a lot of friends in anime, from Johnny Young Bosch to Christina V to Steve Bloom, obviously did a lot of anime. Adam MacArthur has done a lot of anime. And these are all friends of mine that I love. Zach from Demon Slayer and all. All these wonderful people, talented, wonderful people. And I have not done a ton of anime, but I don't know if there's a character, because all my, Chris Sabat, Sean Schemmel, all these folks, they're all doing such great work in that. I don't know. Quentin Flynn is another friend of mine that works in anime. Brian Donovan worked on Pokemon and all. Sarah Nataceni. So many wonderful voice actors that work in anime that, you know, it'd be fun to work on a project with them all like that. So the closest I got to that right now is working on Gabriel and the Guardians. Gabriel and the Guardians is a show that I'm working on through the folks at Angel Studios. Well, it's actually Jason Moody is the creator of it. And he and David Cunningham and Al Moore and all these wonderful folks putting together this show, Gabriel and the Guardians. If you go to the Angel Studios app, it's a free app. You can download it. You can find out, you can watch all of the stuff for the upcoming series, Gabriel and the Guardians. And if you could support it too, you can go online. There's ways of supporting them and being a part of it, kind of that pay it forward. And it's kind of like a crowdfunding type thing there, where they are looking for support of of that show, and that is an anime-styled show, and I play several characters in that show, Malacros primarily, and Malacros is the bad guy, which is really kind of fun. I'm not going to do Malacros's voice on here yet, because it hasn't really been released yet, but boy, when that show comes out, I think you're all going to be very excited. So I hope that that answers your question, Tom Grover, musician and YouTuber. I hope everybody checks out Tom there. Okay, here is Leo V. Moretti. I think I'm pronouncing Leo Moretti. Leo Moretti asks, what would it be like if Mr. Bullhoffner gave Johnny Test detention at school to teach him how to listen to his family, to learn about how to work hard for a living and learn life and the hard way instead of letting it go in one ear and out the other and go blah, blah, blah. I think Mr. Bullhoffner should send Johnny Test to military school to learn life the hard way, don't you? From Leo Moretti. Okay. That was a funny one. Okay, Leo, here's the deal. If you all know the cartoon The Loud House, I'm on The Loud House and I play Mr. Bullhoffner. All right, Loud. You know, and he's this, he's like a shop teacher and he's a very funny kind of gruff character. And then another character I did on another cartoon, Johnny Test. Johnny Test is totally awesome. And so he's kind of combining The Loud House and Johnny Test. And what would Bullhoffner say to Johnny Test?
All right, Test, I need you to learn and work hard.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, that's kind of what you're asking for there. I'll just do a couple of voices there. Okay. Thank you, Leo, for that. That's fun. James Younger Audio asks a very cool, this is James Younger, audio doctor. He says audio engineer, home studio expert. Look at that. Oh, check out James Younger on Instagram there. It's James Younger Audio, Younger Audio. Okay, I like James's question here. Here we go. What was the most difficult thing to get right when acoustically treating your space, the booth and the mixing room? P.S. Your podcast has gotten me through some pretty challenging and dark times. It's such a wonderful therapy for me just to listen. Thank you, James. Hey, from one James to another. James, thank you so much. You know, my recording studio, that really means the world to me. Thank you. I'm so glad. It's gotten me through a lot, too. And I appreciate that we get to kind of do this together. And I'm thrilled to get your question there. And that's very cool. I'm gonna look at your stuff. Okay, I'm going to give you a follow as well, James. All right. I followed you. And so what was the most difficult thing to get right when acoustically treating your space? So my studio that I've just built in my home a couple years back now, when we moved, I built kind of my dream studio. I put aside some money and I really wanted to do it right. And I hired a contractor. The contractor and I, I'll be honest, we had a falling out and it didn't end well. And I don't know if I handled it that way the best, because I lost my temper with the guy. I never lose my temper. But this man was in our house for 4 months, nonstop, every day, first thing in the morning, leaving late at night. And he was starting to drive us crazy. And then he was forgetting things. And it was a long story. I don't need to, you know, because it's fine. But it got to the point where I had to just say, you know what? I'm going to finish the studio on my own. And I needed the studio to be finished. So I ended up finishing the room myself. The contractor had built the walls and done the flooring and all of that. And then I was left to acoustically treat it. However, the one thing that we had done was a very, very talented studio designer who designs like symphony halls and stuff, designed my booth. He drew up blueprints and a design for the booth. So I followed a lot of what the blueprints were. I couldn't do everything exactly the way that he had suggested, but what I did is I found a wonderful place, GIK Acoustics. GIK Acoustics, they're in Atlanta. And I highly recommend, if you're looking to build a studio or you're looking to just kind of make a little space in your house, check out GIK Acoustics. This is not like an ad. They don't pay me anything for that. I'm just telling you, this is where I get my gear. So I got a lot of my stuff from them, and then I got a lot of my stuff from a place called Audimute, and that would be AUDIMUTE, audimute.com. I got a lot of my sound panels and stuff from them and some diffusion from them. And then I got my other diffusion from GIK Acoustics. And I built really my dream booth. This booth is probably, it's about, I think, 8 foot by 6 foot. And, you know, that's rounding up and down a little. It's not perfectly that. But the walls to my studio are, at the thickest points, they're 18 inches thick. So this, and it's in the center of the house. So it really is soundproof in here. It's, I mean, as soundproof as you're going to get. I have double doors. I have double dual glass window, and I have it, you know, in the right directions. So you have a kind of an angle, the glasses on an angle, so you don't get slapped back. I have minimal things in here except for a mic stand and a screen, a couple touch screens and some iPads for my Zoom calls and my scripts and such. And I have a small rug on the bottom underneath me. And I have diffusion on the ceiling. I have diffusion on the walls. And then the walls behind me and to my right, I have absorption. So what was the trickiest thing getting right was really just actually making it all kind of come together cohesively with the look and the feel of it. But it, because I had those blueprints from this expert in this that designed what the room should be kind of based on these dimensions, it really came together well. I've had issues in other rooms before too, where I'm like, it sounds a little dead. I really find the key, James, to a awesome studio is diffusion. Sound diffusion. You all can, I've put out a couple of videos, I think, on it on my YouTube channel as well. You all can check out my studio and see that. But the sound diffusion really helps. The diffusion is in front of you, and it's also to my left. So there's two different types of diffusion. There's like a three-way diffusion and a two-way diffusion, for lack of a better. That's kind of a layman's way of putting it. And so the three-way diffusion is in front of me. So when I'm talking now on my microphone here, I'm talking towards that diffusion. So you get a little life to the microphone, okay? As opposed to if I was talking directly into the, I don't know if you can hear that. I can hear that in my headphones right now. I'm talking towards the wall that has absorption, and it's a little more bassy right there. But then when I talk and I turn right here, you can hear the life bouncing back. So sound just refracts and bounces back all over the place. So getting the diffusion and the absorption the right ways was probably the trickiest thing, but it was also already kind of laid out for me. And then the amazing folks, Mike over at GIK Acoustics, he was able to look at the plans I had, take that and say, okay, based on this, here's what I recommend. And so I got these wonderful sound panels from them for the diffusion that is in front of me. They're these 2x2 squares, and I put them all around, and they got these cool designs. They laser cut all of this stuff, and it's really cool stuff. So that is, I guess, the trickiest part is just what? I don't know. Just, you know, here's the trickiest part for me, James. I think you'll relate to this. Always wanting to change it up because new products come out and you go, oh, that's so cool, man. I want that. And because now they make like these really cool slatted ones that I was looking for at the time I was building my studio, and they didn't have those. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should change over to that. That'd be really cool. So there's just always more gear. There's always new microphones. There's always new things to get. So those are that would be the trickiest part. Okay. That's a long answer. James Younger Audio. Everybody check out James Younger Audio. Okay. And maybe for all of you that are trying to build your own booths and stuff too, you check out James on Instagram. Okay, let's see. This is Alice 83 Ashla. Let's see. Yep. Star Wars fan. Okay. And it says, from the top of your head, what's a moment while partaking in Star Wars you thought to yourself, I'm actually doing this? And then she also adds, and you inspire me to be a voice actor. Well, that is very, very sweet, Alice 83 Ashla. I hope I'm saying all of your call sign there properly. So what is the one thing that I thought myself in working in Star Wars, I'm actually doing this? I think some of the coolest stuff has been working in, well, you know, I've always said that the coolest stuff is working with all my friends and my family, my castmates in Star Wars. But when I got to say the most famous lines, you know, may the Force be with you, or I have a bad feeling about this, as so many, I've said, I have a bad feeling about this as Obi-Wan. I've said it, I have a bad feeling about this as Jedi Master Plo Koon. I've said it as Lieutenant Beck on Rise of the Resistance at Disney World and Disneyland. If you go to Rise of the Resistance, the Mon Calamari that takes you on the journey, that's me. I did the voice of Lieutenant Beck, and he says, I have a bad feeling about this. I've said it as other characters too. I believe I've probably said that as more characters in Star Wars than any other actor. I don't know that to be the fact. I think it's either me or D. Bradley Baker or Tom Kane. I've got to say that as more characters. But saying those lines, kind of those iconic lines, may the Force be with you, I have a bad feeling about this, things like that, that is really amazing. Getting to do voices. Now, see, originally, the way I would answer that is, when The Force Awakens was being made, Matthew Wood, who is, of course, the voice of General Grievous and the battle droids, and he does all the sound design for the films. He's a brilliant sound designer, an Oscar-nominated sound designer, had me come in and originally do, Rey, these are your first steps. I was the one that originally said the lines of Obi-Wan in Force Awakens when Rey touches the saber. And then, of course, you know, J.J. Abrams liked it so much, they brought in Ewan McGregor. So That's what happens when you're a voice actor, I guess. So I thought that was really cool. I thought, wow, my voice is actually going to be in a Star Wars live action movie as Obi-Wan Kenobi. It doesn't get better than that. And of course, when I saw the movie, I actually remember I thought it was actually me because our voices are so similar. Now, of course, they used Alec Guinness saying Rey, where they took him when he said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Afraid." They took Rey from Afraid. And they made, so he says, "Rey." And then that last part was Ewan McGregor. But originally it was me that got to say all those lines. And so I thought that was a kind of a pinch me moment. But all of my work in Star Wars has been a pinch me moment. And I can't believe I'm doing it. I'm so humbled and blessed to have been involved in any of it. And I'm still involved, you know, here and there. They call me in to do Obi-Wan for Lego stuff and all. And whenever they do, I'm so very, very blessed to get to do it. So thank you so much, Alice. I hope that answers your question. Okay. Here's a good one from Fangirls Over 40. That's these are all Instagram handles I'm giving you all. Fangirls Over 40. Just a couple of fangirls who can't believe we are over 40, but here we are. I love that. Okay. God bless you. Okay. It says, thinking about your Clone Wars Obi-Wan, at the moment right before, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched all of Clone Wars up into season 5, maybe don't listen for the next few seconds as I'm going to give away something that happened in Star Wars The Clone Wars episode The Lawless, okay? Okay, I'm giving you a moment. Okay, here we go. At the moment right before Satine was killed in front of him, if you had been given creative latitude as an actor, could you see Obi-Wan taking that momentary anger of the pain from Qui-Gon's death and force pull Satine away and duel Maul instead? I've always pondered this as Obi-Wan is so much stronger than Maul, but it's Obi-Wan's stoic strength in the light of the force that inevitably brings about Satine's death. But is it, but is it Obi-Wan's stoic strength in the light side of the force that inevitably brings about Satine's death? You know, that is a deep question. It really is. I've thought about that before. Obi-Wan probably could have taken those restraints off. He was being held and all. And he, you know, he was not able to just kind of jump up and fight Maul there. He was detained, right? And he had to sit there and watch it. And it's very poetic. It's all very theatrical and very poetic the way that they did all that, where he had to watch yet another person dear to him be killed by Darth Maul. I mean, it is so tragic. And that's, of course, what makes the beauty of the Rebels episode that I very, 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 pretend I said it a lot, sadly did not get to voice. That was voiced by Stephen Stanton and not James Arnold Taylor, which really bummed me out. If I'm being completely honest, that is no reflection on anybody, not a reflection on Steven. It's not a reflection on anything. I don't know why I was not asked to voice Obi-Wan in that, but I wasn't. And it really bummed me out. It really hurt my feelings. I'm just being honest. Okay, moving on. But when Obi-Wan took Maul's life in that episode, that was so poetic and beautiful the way they did it. That's also why it breaks my heart I wasn't involved in it. I was Obi-Wan in that same episode as the young Obi-Wan giving the hologram message. But I do believe that if Obi-Wan had done that, it just would have been another moment where Satine lives. And that it's beautiful and tragic and terrible that Satine dies the way she does. But if she hadn't, it's not the poetic movie and that Star Wars is, right? So that's kind of the tragedy of all of it. And it makes Obi-Wan even more of a tragic character. And it brings so much more then to him saying, "You are the chosen one," you know, when he's screaming that to Anakin, because all of the pain, everything that has happened leads up to that. And I know that some people will try to blame Obi-Wan for this. He should have finished the job with Anakin, or if he hadn't done this or that or the other. He is a true believer. I've said it 100 times, if not 1,000. He's a true believer in the Force. He's a true believer in the Jedi Code. He's a true believer in doing the right things. And I don't think in the moment he necessarily, I don't know if he saw it coming. He should have seen it coming, right? He should have seen it coming. Because they do release him after Satine is, you know, killed by or dying, is dying. He's able to rush to her aid. So that is a great question as to whether or not he could have done that and saved the day. But what it would have just been then is it would have just been another off onto another adventure, right? He saves the day again. he says goodbye to the Duchess. They continue their little banter back and forth of could it ever happen? Won't it ever happen? Which would be lovely. We'd all love that. I think we all would have loved that. But it didn't happen that way. And gosh, I don't know. You really got me with that one. It's a powerful question. It really is. If he had pulled her away and dueled Maul, it would have been great. It would have been great. It would have been, but it's a different story. It's not the story that they told. It's not the story Dave Filoni had planned or George Lucas at the time. I think now it's all the more powerful when we think of the Duchess. And there's such a powerful growing contingency of people. I was on the phone with my good friend Joe Hogan, an amazingly, amazingly talented artist. And he has done so much work for me. He did all the artwork on Clone Wars Conversations. He's done a majority of the artwork in my stage show, Talking to Myself. He does so much great work. And he is an official Star Wars artist. Now, we were talking on the phone today, and we were talking about the Duchess Satine and Obi-Wan and the love of those characters that so many of you all have. I really believe, and we were both talking about how, you know, that's the thing he hears about even too as an artist. What do you want to see? You all want to see that younger story, the story of Obi-Wan and Satine when they were younger. Here's my thing. If anybody's going to start a campaign about that or anything, it's got to be an animated series because it's got to be Anna Graves and myself because you know what they're going to do. They're going to do some live. You know, by the way, this is me just talking as a Star Wars fan. I'm not saying anything. I don't know anything. Okay, so let me just label that first so you all know that. I'm just talking just like all of you. I would hope if they ever told the story of young Obi-Wan and young Satine, they would do it animated and they would do like a mini series, a 6-part series or something, and they would have Anna and myself voice the characters because then it's true to the Clone Wars versions of those characters and all that, and not like do live action with some young hip whoever's, you know, the hot actors at the time and have them play it, which is what they probably would do. But, you know, anyways, I hope they don't. So, all right, fangirls over 40, thank you for your question. I could do a whole episode on that, couldn't I? Okay. Nick Lipton asks, I'm so excited. I've missed the Jackcast. I've been listening since day one. Thank you, Nick. My question is, do you have a favorite memory from the Clone Wars days or from when the Clone Wars returned? Oh my goodness. There's so many favorite memories for me that it's very hard. As I've said, it's the relationships I've built. Ashley is like my little sister. Matt Lanter is like my younger, more handsome, more rugged, more wonderful brother. He is such a good man. Catherine Tabor is also my little sister. Both her and Ashley are my little sisters who I just love. And Dee Bradley Baker and I are like, you know, and Tom Kane, the three of us are like the old dudes that, you know, we're just blessed to get to work with all these amazing young talents. And so there was so many wonderful moments outside of working on it, but those moments of going into the studio, knowing that we were working on Star Wars and who was going to be in the studio each time, it was magic. It was really magic. I really miss that. And the world has changed so much since then. And so it's very sad. But here's the thing. I guess what I would say, my favorite memories are not my memories. They're all of your memories. It's the fact that Star Wars, Clone Wars is its own thing now. And so many of you grew up on it and that it's still alive and well in your hearts. So I hope that answers that for you, Nick. Thank you so much. All right, I want to keep getting to all of your questions here. There's so many to get through. Natalia Manton Zero is your handle there. Natalia Manton. Am I pronouncing that right, Natalia? Natalia, you are my dear fan in New Zealand. And you say, I am wondering, would you consider doing another fan Instagram live like you did when Clone Wars finished, when you chatted to fans on video? Would love that if you did. I am just interested to know. So, okay, years ago when Clone Wars finished the 7th season, we all came on, we did an Instagram, I did an Instagram live with all of you, and I believe what I did is at the time, so there's a way that you can hit it, and I can actually call some of the fans and stuff, and I did that, and I surprised a lot of people because they weren't expecting me. They were just watching the Instagram live stream, and then I would call them. And so Natalia is asking if I would ever do that again. Yes, I'll do that again, Natalia, and when I do, I will look for you, okay? All right. I don't know when that'll be, but I'll look for you. Okay, my dear? All right. May the force be with you, my dear. Okay, this one is very similar to the one that Nick had asked. This is 7567 miles per hour. And that is Matthew Holloman asks, what's been your biggest takeaway from your time in Star Wars? The fans, all of you, all of you. You're my biggest takeaway. You're all so kind and giving and loving and generous to all of us. So thank you. Clone Wars Collector asks, "Hey James, I hope you and your family are doing well. My question is, what are some of your favorite Bible verses and why? Also, I'm so glad that your daughter is coming on the podcast again. She really has wisdom beyond her years, and as someone around her age, it's really great to hear the words of someone who's willing to take counsel from their elders and also teach them things as well. Can't wait for your movie to come out, too. It looks amazing." Well, thank you, Clone Wars Collector. That is Clone Wars Collector. Oh, look at that. You got my picture up there. Oh, that's very nice of you. Okay, creator of Sith Obi-Wan Week. Sith Obi-Wan Week. Oh, look at that. Okay. My hero is Jad Actor. Oh, well, isn't that very sweet? That is very nice of you. Okay, Clone Wars Collector. My favorite Bible verses, there's many, but Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord," or respect the Lord, "and stray from evil. It will be health to your body and strength to your bones." It's one of my favorites. That's one of the ones that, you know, I think is just a go-to in life. I love Corinthians, "For now we see in the mirror dimly, then we will see face to face. Now we know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I've been fully known." In other words, we don't know the beginning, middle, and end of our stories. We don't know any of it. We're just living in it. So try to live in it and trust, again, goes back to the other, trust that God's got this, okay? It makes life so much easier to know that the creator of all things has got it for you. Okay. So I hope that helps. And then my daughter, yes. So this episode has already aired. The episode with my daughter, the two-part episode with my daughter has already aired, and you all already heard that. If not, go back and take a listen. That was this season. I believe it was episodes 3 and 4 of this season. My daughter, Lydia Rose Taylor. Since then, I will announce, so she stopped working for us. She got a job. She just got it yesterday. She was offered a job. She went to an interview for a job. She went to several interviews, and all of them offered her a job, which is fantastic because she's just such a great, motivated young person. So every one of them offered her jobs. And then the one that she really wanted, she went to the interview, she had a great time. And then a few hours later, they emailed her and said, "You got the job if you want it." So she's got a job and she's working in hospitality, and she's going to be doing fantastic. And I know she's going to work her way up and do very well. So thank you for that. I so appreciate that. I hope you all got to listen to that episode of the podcast. I think she is a wonderful young lady, and she could probably do her own podcast and do very well. But okay, moving on. Abby Absteroni. Absteroni? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Abby, but forgive me if I'm not. But Abby asks, "Are you working on making your own film production company? I think you said something like that. Either way, if you ever do and you need another video editor, I'd love to work for you and with someone like you. Honestly, it'd be a dream come true. Thank you for being a blessing in my life. I've needed it this month." Oh, Abby, God bless you. I pray that you have nothing but success in your life. I pray that for all of you. I pray that you all enjoy and film editing. You know, I edit all my stuff, and it's a lot of work, but you know how fulfilling it is, Abby. So, okay, I am trying to make my own film company in many ways. I mean, I have my own small little company, but I would love ultimately to make, I have tons of stories to tell, and I have my movie, The Comic Shop, that we are trying to get made. If I had $250,000 to $500,000, I could make that movie tomorrow. But I'm trying to get that money, you know, find investors and stuff. If I could start building a production company, that would be my dream, to be able to. I don't need to make millions and millions of dollars. I've been very blessed to make the money that I do when I do. But really, what my life is about is making enough to pay my bills, to take care of my family, and to make more of what I love doing. And I love storytelling. So my dream would be able to make movies that, you know, cost, say, $250,000 to $500,000 a year, or a movie, I should say, and they make, say, $1 million, right? Because then what does that do? That allows me to make the next one, and then the next one, and hire a small group of people that are really good at what they do, and just have a small group that you work with, and you make these wonderful things. So I appreciate that, Abby. If I ever get to the point where I have a production company where I need to hire people, I will definitely reach out to you. And if there's a place where I can see some of your work and see some of your editing capabilities and stuff, well, then you let me know, and you can put that comment down in the comments there as well with a link or something, and I'll take a look at your stuff. Okay. Then you asked another question. Look at that. You, right after that, you said, "How do you stick true to your beliefs and morals while working in Hollywood mainstream media? Like you said, you don't do gore, profanity, inappropriate things. How do you know when you go into a job that they won't make you go against your values with the script?" Well, it's a very good question, Abby. You have to always kind of be on the lookout for that. you want to make sure that you don't commit to something until you know what the something is. And I will be honest, I've made that mistake before. I've worked on projects that I committed to. And then later I kind of went, you know, this is probably not something I should be doing. There's a couple of shows out there that, again, I'm very proud of the work I did on them. One in particular that is very kind of very adult, very crude and such. But I'm very proud of the voiceover work I did. And I also was very happy to work on the show because I got to work with some amazing people, some of my dear friends in voiceover. And I was able to be a light, I hope, to all of them and show that, look, as a Christian, as somebody that believes a certain way and tries to not, I don't cuss, I don't, you know, do these things in my own life, I can still work on a project if I believe it's got a message that is there that is right, and I can be a light to people. So it's really kind of project to project, but for the most part, yes, I really try, especially now, I will turn down things if there's profanity in it or violence or sexual content, things like that, because I'm just not interested in telling those stories. That's just not me. So I try to be very honest with people too. And I think people for the most part get that. So I just, if my agents, I always have my agents send me everything and then I can choose and go, no, I don't want to read for that. And, you know, and they know why. I just do my best. So it really depends on the project, but at the same time, you just have to pray about it. You have to give it to God and you have to say, give me wisdom and show me the way. So I wish you nothing but the best, Abby. Thank you for that. Okay. Fangirl Lorian. I'm just a geeky girl who loves to draw and craft. I like traditional and digital art. I'm always trying to improve my art. That's great. Okay, Fangirl Lorian. I've been wondering if it's better to have an agent as a voice actor. I'm trying to break into it myself. Well, it certainly helps to have an agent, but if you are not part of the unions like the Screen Actors Guild or American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, AFTRA, SAG-AFTRA, then you don't necessarily need to have an agent. However, agents help get you auditions. They help make it seem a bit more like you're the real deal, right? But a lot of people have, you know, Voice123 or Voices.com. They have their accounts, they have their demos up on those places, and they're able to do their stuff that way. So it really depends on where you live, what kind of work you're trying to get, what type of voiceover work you're trying to get. And so that's what I would say. In the long run, it's always nice to have an agent. And I think you all know what I mean, but it's good to have a good cop, bad cop kind of thing. You know, sometimes that agent can be the one, especially like what we were talking about with Abby. If you have a job where they offer you the job and you're just like, I'm just not comfortable with the content of that. Your agent is the one that calls them up and says, hey, yeah, they're just not interested in this right now or whatever. Thank you. And they're able to kind of do it. So you're not the person having to say that. So it's nice to have an agent like that. My wife, Allison, is my manager as well. And so she works with my agents. So I have kind of layers of people in front of me before I, you know, that they handle kind of the casting and the auditioning and the jobs. And so I have an on-camera manager for my on-camera work. I have a voiceover agent for my voiceover agent. I have a booking agent manager for all of the Comic Cons and live events that I do. So there's various people that work for me in those areas. And of course, you know, you pay them commissions and such, and that's the way that works. But it is nice to have a team of people that know you can help you. So it's something to strive for, is what I would say. If you're really interested in voiceover and you're really going to be trying to make that a career, that's probably a goal you should have, is to try to find an agent. And there's plenty of agents that represent people that are non-union as well. So find them in the local areas where you're at. And you know, that's the starting point. So I hope that's a bit of information that works for you. Let's drink some water. I'm getting thirsty.
It's time to drink some water. That's good water.
Ooh, that's good water.
Yeah, man.
Kip Photo 2, K-I-P underscore F-O-T-O 2 asks, what is your go-to snack for traveling to all these cons? And do certain foods alter your voice in a good or bad way? That's a great question, Kip. Yes, there are many different snacks that I take and that I get. And usually my whole thing when we go to the Comic Cons is we get there, we land, we go to the hotel, and then my wife and I go to Whole Foods. We find a Whole Foods. There's usually Whole Foods everywhere, or I'll find a health food store. And I will go to that and I will shop and I'll get my water, because I don't drink water in plastic. I drink water in glass or aluminum. I find it's better for me. I was, because of when I was exposed to black mold years ago and I acquired a lot of immune issues and things, I really have to watch my diet and what I do, but I also have to take care of my voice. And so I drink water out of glass generally. So I get a bunch of water for me for the trip. I get different snacks and beverages and things that I know will give me, like these, there's these protein drinks. They're called Rebel and they're made with like coconut milk or almond milk and things. And they have, you know, mushrooms and superfoods in them that give me energy to kind of sustain me through the day, because I can't really eat a lot at the Comic-Cons. I can't eat any of the food they have at the Comic-Cons generally. And then there's these snacks that I found, and they are made here where I live, and they're called E-bars, the letter E and then bars, E-bars. I follow them on my social media, on Instagram and stuff. They are amazing. They're superfood bars. And I love them. I'm going to be doing a video on those shortly. I'm going to be talking about them. And I'm probably going to go to their factory and talk to them because they're here. They're made with all sorts of beautiful, wonderful, healthy ingredients. They put a lot of mushrooms in them, a lot of superfoods. Mushrooms are superfoods now. Reishi mushrooms, lion's mane, and stuff like that. Those give you energy. They give you sustenance. They give you immune support. I eat a lot of those things throughout my day just to kind of sustain me. And there's stuff, you know, because I don't do any refined sugars and such. I don't do dairy. I don't do gluten. I don't eat a lot of fruit even because of the sugars in the fruits. So I'll eat green apples. I bring with me green apples. I bring with me the E-bars, and they make all sorts of different E-bars. There's one that's like an immune support one. There's one that's called Focus, and it's got like good superfoods for energy and focus. There's one that's, I think there's a trim one. There's an energy one. There's different ones. I also will eat Macro Bars. Those are another brand. Those ones I think you can get probably pretty much anywhere. Macro Bars, I eat those. If I just need a snack while I'm at the cons, but then what I do is then generally we'll go and we'll find a restaurant that we can find that has good organic food. And if there isn't that, we'll go to the Whole Foods and I'll get myself some salad. I'll get some lettuce. I'll get some veggies. I'll go to their little buffet bar and I'll get some broccoli and cauliflower and might get some brown rice. And I eat those things. I get some olive oil and some sea salt and I'll just have my own little meals there. And so that's kind of what sustains me through the Comic-Cons. I try to just eat as healthy as I can, but the E-bars, I really hope you all check out E-bars. Those are great. I'll be talking to them. You know, I'm going to see, maybe I'll have them be like kind of a sponsor or something on the show soon enough. So thanks for that question, Kip. That's a great question. Padawan with purpose, Nicole W. Padawan with purpose. I like that. Padawan. Nicole asks, what is your favorite or most meaningful dialogue you've spoken? Wow. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that before. Boy, there's a lot. Now, granted, I've worked on a lot of Christian projects as well, where I've got to kind of speak about the gospel. And so whenever you're doing the gospel, those are really meaningful ones. I think in the world of Star Wars, obviously from what we were talking about before, the Lawless.
You can kill me, but you'll never destroy me. It takes strength to resist the dark side. Only the weak embrace it.
That was a very powerful speech. I loved that. I loved getting that opportunity. I loved doing, you know,
this is Jedi Obi-Wan Kenobi with a message for any remaining Jedi. Trust in the Force.
Those were special moments in my world of Star Wars. But then,
listen to my story. This may be our last chance.
I didn't know how meaningful those words from Final Fantasy X would be to my life and my career when I first voiced Tidus. Yes, I say Tidus. Some of you say Titus. It's okay. You can say either one. In Final Fantasy X over 20 years ago, that's the opening lines of dialogue from him. I didn't know how powerful those would be and how powerful of a story that would be and how much that would affect people for so many years. So those were very purposeful and meaningful to me as well. But yeah, I've got to do things where I've been the voice of Jesus in things. And so, of course, anytime you're doing the gospel stuff, that's very meaningful to me as well. But there's a lot of meaningful lines, but I think that those ones probably covered. I hope that answers your questions well enough. Padawan with purpose. Okay. WSB Joey 13 asks, what was your favorite episode in the Clone Wars with Obi-Wan? Very hard to say. I love the Lawless. I love the ones with the Duchess Satine. I love all of them. I don't necessarily have a favorite, but those ones mean a lot to me. Michael McManus, you're not a Jedi yet, 447, asks, so grateful that you do this show and how open you are about your life. Your faith inspires me in my own personal walk. If you had a chance to voice a different major character on Star Wars other than Kenobi or Plo Koon, which would you choose and why? I've been asked this question before, and it's very hard to say because the folks that have done the characters already are so perfect. I wouldn't I wouldn't want to take over for anybody, you know? I love the characters. I love all of them. I love the opportunities when there's new characters that come up, like Lieutenant Beck from Rise of the Resistance. That was really special. But any new characters, I'd love to voice some more Jedis and stuff. I just think they're just fun. They're just fun to do. So, yeah, I hope that answers it for you there. Thank you, my friend. All right. Adrian Silas 415 asks, how did you come up with how to do the Obi-Wan Kenobi voice, and what voice practices did you do? Well, I've told this story many times before. I just listened to Ewan McGregor. I listened to Alec Guinness, and then I put my own spin on it, and I auditioned, and I was the fortunate guy that got picked. I think because our voices are very similar, mine and Ewan McGregor's, and so it was a natural match. And so I practiced. I still practice the voice of Obi-Wan. So, Crazy Gaming Official, what is your favorite Clone Wars episode and your favorite Obi-Wan scene in all Star Wars? Well, I've kind of answered that one as well. Thank you, Tony. That's Crazy Gaming, Crazy a Gaming Official. Okay. Anastasia Design Experience. You're in Australia, Anastasia. That's right. And I've seen your post before. You're asking, glad to see a new update on the Jackcast, James. On my side here in Australia, we've been getting frequent severe thunderstorms, which has been pretty scary. Our power went out, but we're okay now. Good. Listening to the Jackcast episodes gets me through the stormy days. I heard about the news about the big snowstorms happening in the U.S. Stay safe. I hope all goes well. May this year be a year of hope, faith, and countless blessings for you and your family from down under. Well, thank you so much for that, Anastasia. I appreciate that. Yeah, we had some snow, but you know, where I live, we only get snow for about a week, and we had some beautiful, beautiful snow. As you all know, I don't know if I've given an update on my wrist. So it turns out my wrist was not broken. Thank the Lord. It wasn't broken, but I am still wearing a brace on it. I'm going to physical therapy. I ripped some tendons pretty badly. I bruised the bone and the muscles pretty badly when I slipped and fell on the ice when it snowed, but I'm doing okay. So I thank you for that, Anastasia, and I pray and hope that you all are doing well there in Australia. So here we go. O'Reilly Drawings, or is it Riley? Riley, and it's Zero Riley, or is it O? I think it looks like Zero Riley _ Drawings, and it's Riley, asks, how is it being a Christian in the voice casting and voice acting industry? You're using your incredible voice for the new upcoming Gabriel and the Guardians, which we talked about, and have used it for non-Christian roles such as Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I guess the question is, how being a Christian has impacted your career or vice versa? Well, being a Christian impacts my whole life. Because that is first and foremost, the most important thing is that I get to be an example of the goodness that God has. My heart, I've always wanted to do the right things for people. I've always wanted to be a good person. I've always tried to do what I can. But I also know now that the burden is not mine. It's His, if that makes sense. So all I want to do is my best. I want to thank Him. And I want to be a good light. I want to be salt and light to the world. I want to bless people by being the best person I can. I am the most blessed, lucky, wonderfully blessed person I can imagine. I have an amazing wife. I have an amazing daughter. I have an amazing life. I've got to do what I've wanted to do in my life. And that is to be an actor and to tell stories through characters and voices. I grew up in a very tumultuous time, as I've said before on the podcast. And all I wanted to do was make people happy. Because I grew up in a time where it wasn't always very happy, and it was very painful. I saw a lot of bad things in my childhood. I saw a lot of stuff that I wouldn't wish on anybody. And so when I became a Christian, it took the burden of all of that and said, now just try to be a light to everybody and show everybody that, you know, life can be beautiful if we allow it to be, and we accept the fact that there's good and bad in life too. It's really, we've talked about that before in the show, accepting the fact that not everything is perfect. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean everything's perfect and, oh, I love Jesus and then everything's great. No, it's, oh, okay, I may love Jesus, but everything's not always going to be great. Life is going to be hard. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be challenges, but we just have to embrace them, knowing that ultimately the burden is on Him, not on us, but we have to do our part by loving, caring, showing kindness, being a light, you know, loving our enemies as ourselves, not just our, and loving our neighbors, but loving those that are hard to love, being as kind as we can, speaking the truth no matter what, even if it hurts. Sometimes people would say that's not being nice. Yes, it is. Ultimately, what the best thing to do is to give everybody truth so we can deal with what truth is and move forward with truth rather than trying to just make everything match what we want it to be. So that is my goal in life, is to try to just go, you know what? Life's messy, but let's have a good time while we're in it, okay? I hope we're having a good time. And I think that that is a great way to end this episode of the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. That one was awesome. Thank you so much, Riley, for your question. And the next time we go, we're going to answer some more of your questions. There's still so many questions I have to answer here. So many great questions from all of you. Thank you so much. We're going to make it available again. You can still go to that post on my Instagram and you can see where I do a little video and I say hello there. And I say, hey, if you've ever wanted to ask me a question, you can still post questions there for now. And that's the one I'm going to use for answering. I'm trying to get through all of the questions on that. There is about 200 questions on that right now. So this is going to take us probably through the rest of the season to answer all these questions from all of you. But thank you so much. God bless you all. Mr. Announcer Guy, do that legal mumbo jumbo.
Talking to Myself, the James Arnold Taylor Podcast is a production of YumiGo Inc., recorded at Chat Studios. Engineered, written, recorded, and produced by, you guessed it, James Arnold Taylor. All voices are parody and should be construed as entertainment only. All music and sound effects used with permissions and licenses through Backtracks, Digital Juice, Production Tracks, and Partners in Rhyme. James Arnold Taylor's Talking to Myself, the podcast. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, dude.
All right. Thank you all for being a part of the James Arnold Taylor podcast. I hope you're having fun this season. I hope you're enjoying all of this, answering your questions and talking through stuff and just filling you in on life. We've got so much going on here. I'm trying to keep up with them and make sure that you're still getting a podcast out every other week or so. I hope that's working for you all. God bless you. I pray the best for each and every one of you. Again, I appreciate all of you that are not believers in the same faith that I have for sticking with me. I pray that you wouldn't turn it off when I, oh, he's going to talk about Jesus. Just know, this is just the way I talk. And if I was sitting with you, I'd hear how you talk and we'd learn from each other. So I appreciate anybody that is not a person of faith that sticks around and listens to this show. That is so cool. I think that you're doing the right things, man. You're knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And you're knowing more than you want to know by taking it all in and going, okay, this is how James believes. But I still dig him. I think he's a nice guy. I like hearing his stories and they're fun. And I'm learning from him. That's what I hope. Ultimately, that's the best I can do. So there you go. God bless you. Take care and goodbye.